Welcome to the weekly hotspot, kink conversation, BDSM advice, insight from the worlds of distance, domination, and phone sex. We are your hosts, Mistress Delia, and I'm Miss Olivia. Today's topic, rough kink. Miss Delia, there's a huge variety in sexual pleasure and options, as people can see from the list of femdom phone sex ideas on the Mistress line. How did being a phone sex mistress expand your idea of sex and kink?
That's a great question. I will tell you, when I became a phone sex mistress, the world of sex really opened up. And I quickly learned that BDSM can take on so many different forms. There's sensual and strict and easy and hardcore, and absolutely everything in between. So, being me, I researched and I found out that even internet definitions, sexual internet definitions of rough kink, just leave so much room for interpretation. Crazy, right?
I know. And I love your point about expanding your idea of what is sex, because I think before I became a phone sex mistress, I thought of my views of sex as expansive, but they were still my views of sex.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So while I had a wide view of sex and sexual activities and what was fun and what was sexy, I still hugely benefited from talking to such a wide variety of men, cross-dressers, sissies. There's just this boatload of erotic pleasure out there.
Right.
We're going to be diving into rough kink. And you're right. The definitions, even on the internet, are there's a lot of variety.
Right.
But first, we have a specific request for all of you listeners. Lots of people are listening via Apple Podcast. We want you to do us a huge favor. Or if you're submissive, this is your fucking order from Mistress. Go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to the podcast, like it, and leave a review on iTunes. You will find the transcript and handy link on our blog where everything is transcribed. The blog is theweeklyhotspot.com. If you go and do that, we might get really rough with you and you might really like it. So, Delia, let's talk about rough kink and how it fits into BDSM. I've had callers who call and say, I want you to dominate me. And I'm like, what do you mean by dominate me? Mm-hmm. Because that might be something different to me. And it definitely is, especially when the caller ends up realizing that all he wants is a sexually assertive woman.
Right.
I don't think of a sexually assertive woman as a dominant or a femdom. I think she's just frisky.
I would actually agree with you. And just like we said in the beginning, how we had our very own sexual views before we started this, I think that's got to be very similar for a lot of men too, who are curious about something other than vanilla and want something kinky. But maybe before they speak to us, they actually don't know the variety. They don't have that expansive view that we have. So maybe they just think about some things that they've seen or read or little fantasies that they've had. But really, we can guide them and teach them all about rough kink and all the different fantasies and just blow their socks off.
Oh, we definitely blow their socks off. I think we blow some other things off too.
No doubt.
Yeah, we curl their toes.
Well, I agree.
Yes, we do. We're helpful in that way, don't you think?
We're incredibly
we like being helpful.
Oh my goodness, yes.
We're kind of helpful in a very bossy sort of
furtively
way.
Furtively bossy, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Get down on your knees, motherfucker, and suck my toes. Ooh. Thank you. Or it can be, oh, please, I want you to do this. Just lick my ass, kiss my ass. Thank you so very much. So the variety.
Yeah.
From the sexually assertive woman who's not really a femdom, all the way to what I'll call like edge play or definitely pain play. Rough kink is, like it says, rougher, but rougher compared to what? When you think of rough kink, what do you think of?
When I think of rough kink, I actually think a lot about the physical sensations. For me, when I'm thinking about things that are more intense in a session, I am always thinking first about the physical, maybe thinking about something like CBT, cock and ball torment, or ball slapping, spanking, face slapping, squeezing, scratching, just all of those things that have a very physical component to them. And that's what I think of. Mostly when I start thinking about rough sex, rough kink, rough play.
That is a really good point. Although any fetish play can be made to be intense. So I love GQ, which is, you know, just a very mainstream magazine for men. They did this article about BDSM terms. P is for pain slut. And I love that. In any complete list of kink or fetish options, there is always a way to go from mild to intense. So when you have someone that calls you on the phone, how do you find out how rough he wants it or how rough he can take it? So the two of you are on the same page.
That's super important to think about. And I love that you asked that. I think it's very important when initiating contact for a caller to talk about what he wants. So if I don't get that in an email or in the first couple of minutes of a conversation, I go over the rules for rough sex. And I really believe that every rough fetishy scene should be negotiated and planned. And I like to do it a couple of different ways. The first way is safe, sane, and consensual. It's how I play most often of the time. And what safe, sane, consensual means is pretty much what it says. Whatever is done to you is consensual and you want it to happen. And that is for both parties. There might be a little coercion of doing something that you maybe think is a little taboo, and that might be the climax of the scene or something like that. But deep down, everything that happens to you has been negotiated and included into the scene, and both people agree with it. And that is safe, sane, and consensual.
We are really lucky in that we work for a fabulous phone sex company. We are not employees. We use their services for all of the back end stuff. So we don't work for, but we work with a fabulous phone sex company. And unlike some other phone sex operations, we don't have to take every call. So safe, sane, and consensual is both parties, as you said. And if I, as a mistress, don't want to do something that someone calls and says he wants, I'm very polite about it, but I have free will to say, you know, that's just not interesting to me. I'll send you back to the dispatch. You won't be charged for this conversation with me, and she will help you find a mistress who can absolutely help you with that. Do you do the same thing?
I have done the same thing. I tend to, I think, dabble in a little bit of everything. But if there's something that I know I don't like, I don't do it. It really is all about consent.
I think that's a misnomer when people apply traditional BDSM stuff to the distance domination or phone sex world. They think because they're paying for it or because they're calling us that they have the final say. And just like in any fetish scene, the negotiation has to be a mutual negotiation. Both parties have to agree to it, consent to it, and like it and enjoy it. It's not one-sided. Mm.
I absolutely love that. And that's very, very true. And while consent and mutual consent is super important, there are some people who like to play a little bit of a different way. And this brings in a different kind of consent, which is called RAC, and that's risk-aware consensual kink. And when we're talking about rough sex and rough play, I think RAC fits because it's a little more on the edge. It might not be as mutual, but there still is a consensual agreement that's part of the entire dynamic. There's a difference, though. Both parties are aware that the activities might be a little riskier, might have a little more physical or emotional danger attached to them than involved in an SSC scene. But with RAC, risk-aware consensual kink, the mistress is the person who is the most in control, and she is the one that makes the majority of the decisions for the scene. And the submissive is able to just completely let go, relax, become completely enmeshed in the scene, and just does this because he can trust the mistress.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's another reason why you want a mistress who really knows what she's doing, not just on the phone, but also in face-to-face fetish scenes. You and I both play in the fetish world. We go to fetish conventions. We go to play parties. We've got the equipment. So when we're telling someone on the phone what to do, we have a wealth of actual experience and background in that, which is especially important, I think, with impact play. When I think of rough kink, and as you said, the physical sensations, impact play is hugely popular. Spanking, whipping, impact play. How do you do intense spanking on the phone?
I absolutely love impact play in real life and on the phone because I think it translates very well into a phone session. When I do an intense spanking on the phone, it's really wonderful when I can have my caller get implements or he has implements and toys that he can use while I direct him. So I like to use a number line, maybe a 1 through 10, and we define this very quickly. It takes about 30 seconds to a minute in our conversation to establish the numbers. Then I can give him an intensity number and I can guide him to go harder, faster, slower, and with an impact play session, one of my favorites, and you're probably the same. I love watching the action in a Skype call. So it's happening live just in front of me, and it adds to my level of intensity. It's amazing.
And everything that we do, the physical stuff, can be personalized with a scene or role play or a conversation. When we talk about real BDSM versus phone BDSM, people often talk about the phone stuff as if it's not real power exchange or not real BDSM. And that has not been my experience. Some of the phone sessions that I've had, especially when they involve rough kink, have ended up being way more intense than a scene at a play party where there are other people around. So let's talk about planning a kink scene in person versus doing a kink role play over the phone, with or without rough kink, physical sensation play. How is phone play different from what you do at a fetish party?
That is a great question. And I'm going to say something that might surprise people. I bet people would assume that I just love being at kink parties and it's just the best. I think it's actually better to plan a kink scene on the phone, and that it can be just so much more rich than in person. And I will tell you why. So oftentimes I get emails. I get a lot of emails with notes and questions and thoughts before our call. So I can take some time to read those, digest them, and then reflect back and respond with my ideas and thoughts for a session. So that email thread then becomes our negotiation, which is so important. I can ask questions and clarify, and then when we connect on the phone, I have all that information right there in my head. And very quickly, I can check in with the caller, lay out the scene easily, and very quickly, before we begin, I already have developed, you know, that rapport. I've got the comfort level. And so for me, I think it happens pretty naturally with a phone session. I think they're easier to plan, maybe because of the distance too. And because of that distance, I think people can be more immediately open. There's less risk than saying something face to face as in an email. So there's more stake when you're there at a fetish scene with a mistress. If things go great and you just want to lay on the couch, you can't. Or if things go wrong, it's always uncomfortable. But I would say this distance is why I like distance domination so very much.
I think you're right. And it's also less distracting. So for example, if you're in like a hotel ballroom that is all set up with various PlayStations. So you've got the St. Andrew's Cross. You've got this medieval looking spinning wheel made of ornately styled iron stuff. And people are on there like the Wheel of Fortune wheel. You know, you've got a sex scene. You've got someone being whipped over here. You've got someone being fucked over here. It's distracting when you're like, so what do you like? And So I absolutely agree with you. I think on the phone, it can be way more intense because your focus is only on the person on the other end of the phone. And so me with the submissive, that mistress submissive link really begins to vibrate with the energy. This is very different than what people are looking at when they're looking at femdom rough sex in porn. You see something like that and you'll get mixed wrestling, ball busting, whipping and pegging as punishment. It kind of goes to the extreme and you don't see the fetish negotiation and you also don't see the nuances because it's hard to depict in fetish porn, don't you think?
It really is. I mean, let's face it, porn is all about the visual, just what you can see, the cock, the bodies, the latex, the everything. And so it's very easy, I think, for a producer of porn to show something like spanking or wrestling or kicking or a mean look on someone's face. It's very easy to do a visual representation of rough BDSM. It is very different, as you said, and probably very difficult for porn to show those subtleties, the little things that just happen between two people when they make eye contact. all of those negotiated little bits and the things that you just get from a scene, you can completely miss that in porn.
You know what would be absolutely what? Amazing to have, I don't know, Ron Howard, Steven Spielberg, oh, Quentin Tarantino. He has a foot fetish. Quentin Tarantino should absolutely do a BDSM film.
That would right? be amazing.
Like, could you imagine Quentin Tarantino does rough kink? Ooh, he does have a foot fetish.
I know that. I think we've talked about that, you and I.
We have. I absolutely love that he does. And I love that I spotted it while looking at his movies and then went searching. And of course, Mr. Google has answers to everything. So I put in Quentin Tarantino plus foot fetish and boom, a bunch of articles popped up. I'm like, oh, wow. Yes. Okay. So physical sensations aren't the only thing that we talk about when we're talking about rough kink. There are gradations of intensity on the mental and emotional sides as well. As you pointed out, those are really hard to depict in any kind of visual medium. When I think of the mental side of it, I think of predicament play. Do you also consider predicament play rough kink?
Oh, fuck yes, I do. Predicament play, I think, is more than the physical, it's the mental, and you combine them both together. So it's just incredible. It's the use of bondage activities, positions, activities, which can cause pleasure and or punishment over time as the scene kind of goes on. I'll give you an example. I love using predicament bondage positions, also known as stress positions. Think about like your mistress's sissy maid and you are holding up a heavy tray for me. Now, for the first 5 minutes, your arm is fine, but mistress doesn't want you to lower your arm. Over time, though, your arm is going to burn. And you'll want to put it down, but you're not allowed to.
Sissy wants to please
exactly.
mistress.
She does. She does. But the predicament plays out, and Sissy is struggling against her own mind because she's doing her best to please mistress, but knowing deep down that arm is going to fail. So I think that play between the physical and the mental just completely builds this intensity and frustration. It's really a mind fuck kind of dynamic.
And it brings the submissive deeper into subspace because pain increases the experience of subspace. And you also have the submissive that's just the predicament play increases the swirl of thoughts in a submissive's mind. So combining the subspace and the swirl of thoughts, you just get like a cyclone or this hurricane of thoughts and feelings, sensations and emotions, which is fabulous in rough kink. I think that swirl of a variety of emotions is part and parcel of anything involving rough kink. I love the predicament play with, for example, ball stretching. So your legs are apart. This can be any part of CBT, but this particular example is ball stretching and using ball weights. So he's standing far apart. He's got a ball stretcher on and then some weights on. The weights are not particularly heavy. And I did this with one submissive, and he's definitely a pain slut. And he goes, oh, I can take a whole lot more than this. You're just not even giving me any kind of a test. And I thought, oh, motherfucker, you do not want to use that phrase with a mistress. Like, really, are you going to challenge my skills? What? So I said, oh, bend your knees. You know where I'm going with this, right? And so I said, just slightly. I was watching him on Skype. And so I'm like, okay, just a little bit more. But he's only slightly bending his knees. And he goes, yeah. And I said, okay, now thrust forward. Just a little bit. So he did that. And the weights started swinging between his legs. And the next thing you know, those weights are swinging forward and backward, forward and backward. And at first he was talking, and then he started getting very silent. And then he started his expression changed. And I'm like, how you feeling now, Sparky? Yeah, it's a little intense. Still think I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, mistress, aww, no, mistress, no, mistress.
Right.
I just never test a mistress.
Oh, exactly. It really is, you know, the intensity of emotions. And I really think emotionally rough kink can be more, just as or more intense. I mean, think about things like humiliation or cuckolding, and think about those emotional headspaces. Those activities are so intense. So for me, I love how you said that. And it really kind of travels into, I think, things like humiliation, cuckolding, because emotional rough kink can be just as intense as physical rough kink. And I actually think the emotional bits from a scene last longer than the physical bits.
Absolutely. You know, from a spanking and stuff, you will, the submissive will be able to turn around, look at the ass and go, ooh, I've got these red marks, or I've got these bruises. Look what I was able to take for my mistress, my dominant. And the emotional stuff, it is just as intense and it can, and lasting. And I think it can also dip into kind of a catharsis.
Yeah.
Right? And it becomes as stress reducing as the physical part of rough kink can be as stress reducing as an intense physical workout. Like you're on the Stairmaster and you're at level 10 for an hour and your legs are just rubbery as you get off. That's kind of the emotional feeling in a very intense cuckolding scene.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The emotional Stairmaster. Fuck. I love that. I love that so much.
You know what? What a fabulous, what a fabulous way to say that. Should I put you on an emotional Stairmaster? Just do you want the diamond slope of rough kink? Or do you want the baby slope, the learning slope?
I think we're on to something here.
Right, exactly. Oh, I want to take a diamond run, mistress. Are you sure? So you bring up like a great point of this last way past the session, which I think is very important to end with something that should be negotiated at the very beginning of the session, aftercare. The GQ article started with A is for aftercare, and I love that. How do you handle aftercare on the phone? And do people on the phone understand just how important that is?
I think people who have done calls with me absolutely do understand how important aftercare is, because aftercare is actually mandatory for me. Engaging in rough physical or rough emotional kink play, I strongly feel that sub drop is inevitable. Seriously. The submissive will likely go through just intense emotions that he might need to process. There will be things that he might need to need to work through. And it can be psychologically damaging to play hard, really hard, physically or emotionally with mistress. And then for mistress just to say, okay, thanks, bye, that was fun, and expect the submissive to be okay. That's not realistic at all. Aftercare is so important after each and every session. I actually think it should be just as much of a part of your BDSM play as negotiation or even the actual scene itself. It's that important.
I agree with you. And it can be, you know, the mistress misinterpreting and going, okay, bye, without any aftercare. But it can also be the submissive who thinks that just because the scene is over or he had an orgasm or, you know, whatever kind of the end point is, or a cutoff call, right, which has an obvious end point. It is the mistress's job, and I am really good at this, and you are really good at this. It is the mistress's job to figure out and keep track of the timing in order to make sure that there is some aftercare. And we're not talking about 20 minutes of snuggling. Now, that's awesome. That's great. But the aftercare can be short. It depends on the amount of conversation or the processing. It's just, aftercare is a way to get the submissive kind of back in touch with reality. And it also helps the dominant as well, because there's such a thing as dom drop.
Oh, yes, there is. One thing that I find that can help with both sub drop and dom drop is checking in like a couple of hours after or within 24 hours after a scene. And I think that checking in like an email, a little message, hey, I'm doing great. I used my sub drop kit, which is something I love to have every submissive create or set out for himself, something with, you know, maybe a bottle of water, a little snack, a warm blanket, a pillow, some time for the submissive to just sit and watch a movie or something. And that kind of settles the mind. And then checking in with mistress the next day or several hours later, I think can help to combat the really negative feelings of subdrop.
That's beautifully said. And we have a request for our listeners. If you do this, Miss Delia and I will send you a warm blanket and a bottle of water. So here's the request. Lots of people are listening via Apple Podcasts. We want you to go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to this podcast, The Weekly Hotspot. We want you to subscribe, like it, and then leave a review on iTunes. We've noticed that a bunch of you have started leaving reviews, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much. You will find the transcript and the handy link on our blog, theweeklyhotspot.com.
And remember, after this podcast, you can connect with us. Look on Twitter. Olivia is at Mistress Olivia 1. I am at Empress Delia. And look at our blogs and leave us comments, which we love. My blog is begformistress.com and Olivia is experiencedmistress.com.
You'll be able to see all the ways that you can connect with us on our blogs. We've got email there. We've got our Skype there. Ms. Delia talked about Twitter. So there's no excuse. Or you can always just give us a call. 1-800-601-7259. You can ask for Ms. Delia. You can ask for Ms. Olivia. Or if you really want to experience a very rough kink, ask for us both, and we will work you over, motherfucker.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
For now, thank you so much for joining us for the Weekly Hotspot.
Bye, everybody.